This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 222 for Wednesday, February 8th, 2017. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. Welcome this week, Lou Page. Hello, sir.
Howdy, howdy.
Hey, good to have you back, man. It's not been very long at all.
Not at all. In fact, if you hadn't warned me, I might have forgotten that it was even the second Wednesday of the month. I was thinking it was next week.
Yeah, we had this conversation last week with Hammond. Hammond was like, wait, what? It's this week? It's like, yeah, because the first Wednesday was a first. And usually it's like the fourth or the third or something.
Yeah.
And so everybody kind of knows when they're coming on. But when it's when the Wednesday is like the first or the second, everything just seems a lot earlier than we previously thought. And not to boot, February is a short month, too.
Yeah, very short.
So what's going on in your world, man?
Have you ever had to take a cat to the groomer and have its hair cut?
No, I'm not a cat fan. So okay. If I have to take a cat to a groomer, I'm kind of hoping I don't come home with the cat. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a half Persian, half Maine Coon. And she is a lovable cat, but she does not groom herself very good. She's kind of a fat cat. She's about 5 pounds overweight.
You need more yoga for your cat.
Yes. So the issue has been with all the moving and all the stuff that's going on, she really hasn't done a good job cleaning, and she kind of was starting to smell funky. So we're going to wash her in the sink, but it's usually a chore. And my wife found a groomer down the street from us that specializes in cats. And on Saturdays, she does cats all day rather than dogs. That way the cats and the dogs don't have to be in the grooming shop at the same time. So we got a quote. We brought Zoe there. And she's great with us. But when it comes to doing things like touching her paws, cleaning her ears, or even like brushing her is about the extent of what you can do with her.
Right.
And she, other than that, it's like, nope, leave me alone. I'll come sit in your lap if I want to. Just leave me alone. And we took her to the groomer, and she was absolutely amazing for the groomer. The groomer let her rolled her over on her back, trimmed her belly, cut her tail, did all this other stuff. And when she was done, she received what was called a lion cut. So instead of all the fur, she literally looks like a lion running around now.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah, and we were worried she wasn't going to like it, and she absolutely loves it. She came home, and it was like she strutted herself around the apartment, making sure that the other cats in the apartment saw her and knew that she was the boss now.
Nice.
We were worried because we thought for sure she was going to hate it, and it's like, nope, and she's like, it's been really cold, so we were also worried she might get cold.
Mm.
Not at all. She seems to love the haircut. So we're like, well, maybe every 4 or 5 months we'll take her to go get a haircut again.
Yeah. So I'm just curious because, I mean, I've seen the really extreme lion cuts. Like, are you talking like a buzz cut, like right down to the skin or is it more of a taper?
It's she's buzzed right down to the skin, except around her head, and her head's already big and puffy.
Right.
So it literally looks like a lion's mane around her head.
Yeah, so she looks ridiculous.
And then they trimmed her tail all the way down to just a little puff at the end.
Huh.
So she has a little puff at the end. And then her legs and everything are done too, but they stop at the first like elbow. And so it looks like she's got gloves on each feet running around.
Yeah. So is it, I mean, it's more, I can't imagine it looks very attractive, but
Actually, it's very cute.
Yeah. Is it more, I guess it's more function than anything else.
Yeah, it is. And the big thing is, you know, she's fat and she has a lot of hair. So there's a lot of room for her to have to clean herself,
mm-hmm.
even just to clean her belly and stuff. She always misses spots and you're like, oh, great. And we've had to bathe her in the tub a couple of times.
It's funny. I just saw a meme pass by on Facebook of cats that were having baths, and they did not look impressed at all.
Oh no, she hates it.
Yeah, no,
she hates it, and she cries and cries and cries.
Yeah, I mean, I can identify. I don't like baths either. I'm a shower guy.
Yeah, no, my other cat though, we've had to bathe him before, and he's no problem. He's just like, can we get this over with? And he just sits there till you're done. But he will not be going to the groomer. He doesn't need to go to the groomer.
Yeah, how long? Like, do you think how long will it take all of her hair to grow back?
When we got her, she was actually trimmed, and we didn't realize how much hair she was going to have when we got her. I'd say probably about 3 months, 4 months, she'll be back to full length.
Yeah.
It grows real fast.
Yeah. No, is that something that you could do every 3 or 4 months? No.
No. I wouldn't dare. I would get halfway through, and I would probably cut something by accident.
Oh, or... no. I didn't mean you personally. I mean, are you going to take her there like every 3 to 4 months? Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's funny, the things that I don't think of, because I've never owned a cat or a dog, you know, the expenses and the different things that you don't think about, you know. I mean, like, I've been around people that have dogs that have really bad breath or that stink and stuff like that, and it's not pleasant, but like, I'm never around them for very long. There's an escape. I just leave. I just go home.
Yeah. She's not normally, does she smell so bad? We don't know what happened. There's now 3 cats in the house where we're at now. So we were not sure if maybe she was stressed out or, you know, something. And this has changed the whole scenario. Now she runs the show around here, where she was more timid before.
Oh, right on. Well, at least, you know, you can tell that she's happier.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I mean, when I don't have any time to spend with pets, unfortunately, well, I shouldn't say that. If I had a dog, I would probably make a lot of extra time in my day, especially working from home. I feel like I could, if the building allowed an animal, I would probably be able to get away with having a dog. It would just be a little bit trickier if I have to be out of the house for a while, because most of the time I use public transit.
Right.
And that means that I'm out of the house for longer than most people that can just bomb home real quick with the car, let the dog out to pee, and then, you know, go back out and do what they need to do. It's more of a, you know, when I'm home, I'm home. When I'm gone, I'm usually gone for the whole day.
Yeah.
So it would be a little bit tricky there. But
I tell you, that's one of the benefits of having a cat.
You
can really, they really take care of themselves for the most part.
Yeah. And if I ever have a house, maybe outside the city, I do have half a mind to get a pig. a friend of mine has one, and I mean, it's big. It's not an indoor pet necessarily. Half the year it is around here because it's so cold. But apparently, you can train them, and they operate a lot like a cat. Like, they'll use the litter box and stuff like that. And I thought, that's really cool. And how environmentally friendly is it to have a pig? Like, they eat all your compost.
You
don't have to throw food in the garbage, you know, scraps of vegetables and, you know, bits of bread and stuff that end up getting thrown away or put in the compost, just pig food. You know, there's something about that I find really interesting and appealing. And I mean, I know they get big. They're not, you know, they're not apartment animals, but it's an interesting idea of just like the, you know, encouraging the household pet to be a pig instead of a dog.
I saw an interesting one the other day online, somebody that had a giant rodent that was like 30-pound rodent.
Oh, I can't remember what they're called. I think they're Australian.
Something like, yeah. And I saw one of those and I was like, I don't know if I'd want that. No.
I mean,
it's cute, but that looks like a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, and rodents stink. Like, I've been around people that have pet mice, rats,
ferrets
and stuff like that, and that genre of animal, just the cages reek. Like, I can't deal with it. Large rodent. Driving me nuts. Not a wombat. What are they called? Capybara?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They almost look like a beaver.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're a. Yeah, and they really are the size of like a small forest mammal. They don't look at all like a rodent, but I guess technically that's what they are classified as. They're a handsome animal. Like they have a really interesting kind of long square nose to them.
Yeah, they look adorable, and they look like they are pretty healthy animals. I just don't know if I could deal with. Supposedly they eat furniture, and I'm like, I'm good.
Well, yeah, we have rodents chew on stuff. I mean, like, I can't imagine having a chewing rodent the size of a small dog. like I'm looking at a picture right now, and the teeth on this thing, it's insane. It's like you taking three of your fingers together, and that's one tooth, and then the other, you know, it's wow, that's. That looks problematic for any kind of indoor situation. Maybe a good farm pet. I don't know.
Maybe.
Who knows? Man, they are big. Holy smoke. I like big dogs. If I would get a dog, I would get something really large. Not like a Great Dane because, well, one, I know they don't live very long. But two, those are really, really big. But I like Irish Wolfhounds and... Lennonberger, and what's the other one? Bernese Mountain Dogs. They're really handsome dogs.
I've always had animals. It wasn't until I moved out of my mom's house that I didn't have any animals. And it's only the last 4 or 5 years that I've actually had cats. I'm used to having an animal in the house, and then it was weird for a while when I didn't have one. And now it's back to having cats in the house, and it's like, oh yeah. That thing sleeping down by my foot, it's a cat. That's fine.
Yeah, I find there's something about dogs that they want attention and they want affection, but there's still a certain monochrome of personal space that they understand.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas cats are just like, I'm just going to lie in your face until you pay attention to me. It's like, get off. Like, I just...
But we luck out. Our two cats, my roommate's cat is like that. My two cats, it's really like, oh, you're sitting on the couch. I will come sit next to you and sleep. You're going to bed? Oh, quick. I'm going to come with you and I'll curl up by your feet. And that's pretty much the extent of it. They don't really, they're not the kind that get in your way, try and get on the counter in front of you. My roommate's cat does that.
Yeah.
And my two cats look at him like, why are you doing that?
Yeah. I do find it interesting how all pets have different personalities, and
I've had everything. I've had parrots, I've had parakeets, I've had bulldogs, I've had Yorkshire terriers,
wow.
I've had German shepherds.
How are bulldogs as pets?
Absolutely amazing.
Cool.
My dad had a bulldog most of my childhood, Bruno was like a second child in the house.
Wow. My grandfather used to tease my sister and I, and he used to stick his bottom dentures out, like, mm-hmm. off of his jaw, so he looked mm-hmm. like a bulldog. And mm-hmm. Papa was a bigger guy. He had the long, droopy, old person jowls, so he really looked like a bulldog. So whenever I see a bulldog, I immediately think of my grandfather. It's so funny how it stuck with me for 35 years. I'm just like, wow. Okay. Every time, like to the point where if I ever did get a bulldog, I would probably call him Blair because that was my grandfather's name. And I would be so fitting, and everybody in my family would get the joke, you know?
They are wonderful animals as long as you take them to be like obedience school.
Oh yeah.
My dad, Bruno, was trained to do just about anything. And the only thing that he had an issue with is he didn't get along with many other dogs.
Mm.
And it's an issue with the breed.
Yeah. Yeah, they get, I mean, some breeds get territorial and stuff like that. But.
Bruno was very territorial. In fact, he killed another dog once.
Wow. Yikes.
In Boston, my dad used to take the dog for rides on the boat, and they went down to this little beach area that my dad would take the dog to, and Bruno was on a leash, and some guy with a Doberman was running along the beach with his dog with no leash, and my dad was like, tell your dog to get away. Tell your dog to get away. He's like, oh, they just want to be friends. And my dad's like, no, you don't understand. Don't tell your dog to go away. make it go away. And the guy was like, no, go play. And my dad was like, you're an idiot. And then Bruno ripped its throat out.
Wow.
And literally the cop came and said, sir, where's your leash? And the guy said, my dog's never needed a leash. And the cop waved my dad on and said, sir, you can leave. This guy's an idiot. And let my dad go.
Wow. That's crazy. It's funny, like, when you think about all these family pets, you know, the dogs and different breeds and different sizes and stuff. And they are definitely still animals, you know, like, they're unpredictable to an extent. Like, I have some friends that have both kids and dogs. And you really have to trust the animal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously never unsupervised, but even then, you're just kind of like, it's an interesting dynamic. Again, because I didn't have dogs growing up, so I'm always, you know, cautious around dogs. My sister, she's warmed up to some of her dog, family friends' dogs, but she always was afraid of dogs growing up. Always.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never liked them at all. Well, speaking of pets, I watched a number of movies over the past week, and one of them was the new Pete's Dragon. Have you seen it?
I have not. I'm curious as to what your take is on it, because the trailer kind of made me curious, but wasn't enough to sell me on going to the theater for it.
Yeah. It's cute. It's very much a kid's movie.
Okay.
In that it is not, there's no moments meant for adults to enjoy.
Okay.
I had
a funny feeling.
Yeah. It's more one of those movies where you're going to be there. If you took your kid's birthday party to see this, you were there to supervise the kids. Like, you were not really missing anything if you didn't watch the movie. It's the kind of movie where you would maybe your kids would watch it and you would do other things in the house sort of thing. It's still good. Like, it's still well done. Obviously these days with CG and special effects and stuff, it's a really neat way that they handled the dragon. I was curious because I really enjoy the original Disney movie from like the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, took a similar but different take on it. The dragon was not nearly as goofy. And of course he's CG animated and stuff. And he's very much a dog. Like, they animated the dragon basically just like a really friendly dog. The only thing that I felt was missing, and Elliot in Pete's Dragon, the original, didn't talk either, but the way that they emoted with the dragon in this, you kind of wish he would just say like simple words. He's so close to speaking, It would be really neat if they had have given him like a very basic vocabulary, like single words, like, you know, up, fly, fire, you know,
yeah,
Pete, you know, being able to say Pete's name or something like that, would have been cool. But the basic premise is that Pete gets lost in the woods. There's a car accident and his parents die in the car. No, like, this is all in the first 10 minutes. It's not a spoiler. Yeah.
It's all pretty much hinted at in the trailer.
So there's a lot of Jungle Book tones because he's then lost in the woods. He befriends this magical dragon, and they just kind of, that's how he survives, is that he's got this dragon to help him out. What I like, the positive things about the movie, and I'm not saying that because it's written for kids, it's bad. It's just, it's difficult as an adult by yourself to sit there and watch it. If you're watching it with kids, their enjoyment of it might lighten it for you.
Right.
But the hard part, I lost my train of thought. What was I going to say? It's got the Jungle Book tones. It's got, wow, I completely blanked on where I was going with that. Despite being written for kids, it doesn't overexplain itself. So it's got some serious props there, where some of the TV shows and stuff that we complain about, where they have to explain the plot to you over and over again every 15 minutes between the commercials, as if you've forgotten what happened 20 minutes ago. This doesn't. Robert Redford is in it, and he plays someone that has seen the dragon before and tells tall tales around the town. And he believes in magic and he believes in dragons, and that's just flat up how it is. They never ever explain where the dragon comes from, like how he does what he does. Like, it's cool in that way, in that there's that air of mystery.
That's really neat.
Yeah. The only thing that I was disappointed in is that there was no big reveal. So when you're watching the movie and you first meet Elliot and Pete in their relationship, I thought there was going to be this long kind of, and this could be my memory of the original, this long kind of drawn out situation where the adults think that Pete is fibbing and has an imaginary friend.
Right.
Until eventually they meet
the dragon.
They meet the dragon. But that's also kind of a cool reveal for the audience, because you've never actually seen the dragon. There's been some stuff moving around and some, you know, trees moving and rustling and noises and things. But you, the audience, have that adult role of like, yeah, whatever, I don't believe this kid, right? Unless, of course, the trailers will obviously steer you the other way. But you get to see Elliot and Pete in the first like 10 minutes of the movie.
Really?
Yeah, like and there's no great big like fanfare, you know, leaping into the sky. Oh my gosh, it's a dragon! It's just he's revealed as if like, oh, this is my pet dragon. As if you're standing there with your cat, going, "This is my cat." Like it's really casual, and it felt odd because
that sounds odd.
Yeah, because it's this big magical thing, and you think they would have made a big deal about it. You know, it's just like everything else in a Disney movie in an animated film where they come around the corner and it's the first time that you see Elsa's castle, or it's the first time that you meet the boy, you know, in the film, the love interest. And there's always this big sweeping camera move, or there's an embarrassing moment or something. But there wasn't even a story beat to emphasize it. The rest of the movie is good. The actors are all good. I can't remember his name. He plays Bones in Star Trek and Éomer in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
He's in it. I don't remember the name of the other guy, that the main male lead that's in it, but he's also good. I've seen him in other things. Bryce Dallas Howard is in it. She plays the main female lead. She's the park ranger that finds Pete. I can't remember the kid's name, but the kid that played Pete is a good, both kid actors are good kid actors.
Right.
You don't for a minute think that anybody in the film is an actor in a movie. Like, again, it's a quality film. The script was just really young. Like it was
My take from everything I'd seen and heard about the movie was that Disney was trying to do this movie again, do Pete's Dragon again, but nothing felt like. Like the marketing never felt like they threw the through.
Exactly.
Felt like they felt like they were just throwing it out there. That I would think that was one of the reasons why I didn't see it.
Yeah, I feel like I don't even know. I'd have to look into it. I don't know if it was Disney produced so much as if it was Disney distributed. You know, like it doesn't feel like a Walt Disney picture. It just feels mm-hmm. like something that's got the Disney Castle logo at the beginning of it. There were a number of other film logos that kind of scrolled by after that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when it's a Disney movie, like you just get the boom Disney, and then that's it. You know, like when you see a Marvel movie, there's the Marvel thing, and then that's it. Like it's.
In all honesty, it might have been some. If Pete's Dragon might have the original might not have been an original Disney movie. It might have been something Disney did with somebody else back in the day, and they might have been losing their rights to the story or something. And needed
could have been. Yeah, no, I never thought about that. So again, it's still good. It just it would be definitely aimed at younger kids. It doesn't have the same sort of adult jokes that Zootopia and a lot of Pixar films do, that would kind of like make you laugh in as an adult and have kids kind of like, well, it was funny, but I'm not really sure why Dad's laughing so hard. You know, like that kind of stuff. But it's good. I mean, there's something to be said for simple, and it was pretty straightforward. The design of the dragon was odd. Like it felt designed for function in the film as opposed to any other kind of situation. The furry dragon look was weird. It wasn't something that really resonated with
me.
Yeah,
that sounds off.
Yeah. He reminded me the way that he moved, what's the name of the video game that just came out? The Last Guardian? So the guardian creature in that is kind of like a feathered dragon thing.
It's like a dragon dog with feathers.
Yeah, and that's essentially what Elliot is. Like he's got some cat like movements because that's how he's built, but he's more of a bear dog than he is kind of a cat dragon. He's got wings, but they're not big enough to make him fly. And I think that's why they hammer it home so much about the magic, because if you believe in magic and you believe in dragons, then, well, okay, of course you believe a dragon can fly. I mean, he's got big wings, but you don't look at him, and because he is so thick and muscular, like, you don't look at him and think, yeah, he can fly, you know, whereas the dragons in Game of Thrones, which I know is a completely different world, but
right.
When you look at them, they're mostly wing. Like, those dragons, you almost feel, up until, like, the last season, that they're too skinny. They don't feel powerful. It's not until their heads get big enough that you feel, okay, Drogon now looks like a terror, you know? But until when they were adolescents, they looked like, you know, big snakes with wings. Like, it wasn't terribly, you know, massive and intimidating. Whereas Elliot is pretty beefy right up from the get-go. Like, when he sits on his hind legs, much like a cat would do, he looks like a big lion. Like, he's got great big mitts, paws, and, like, he looks kind of like a lion in that way. They also, he had a chipped tooth, so he has, like, these two teeth and underbite, very similar to a bulldog, actually, now that you, since we talked about that. Yeah. But one of them is half gone. So it's like when you see an elephant that only has one tusk, and it's very distracting because they never address it. Like, you just kind of feel like at some point you think there's going to be a little character moment between Pete and Elliot where Elliot the dragon is scared of something, like scared of climbing or scared of rocks or scared of something. Because, hey, remember that time when you tried that and you broke your tooth or something? Like, you feel like Pete needs to refresh your memory as to how he broke his tooth, but it never comes up.
It sounds to me like it was full of ideas and lots of little nods to things that they never explained.
Or they had to cut, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I'd be curious to see the blue, like, behind the scenes DVD sort of situation on that, because I'm sure they had some interesting challenges. But beyond that, it was cool. You know, the actors all reacted the right way, and you had those kind of payoff moments, but. So it's not bad. It's just not at all what I was expecting. But what else have you been watching this week?
One of the big things that I've watched this week was we watched Justice League Dark.
I just saw the poster for that recently. It looked interesting. I was disappointed because I thought, ooh, it's going to be like a creepy Justice League taking on spooky bad guys. And he's like, well, no, all the Justice League people I want to see in a film are not in it.
Well, Batman is in it from beginning to end.
Okay.
And it starts off really grim. Like, it is not a happy Justice League movie at all. It literally begins with several people around the globe, Metropolis, New York City, Gotham, and Washington, D.C. And there's literally a scene where there's a woman and she's in traffic, and all of a sudden the people around her start turning into demons. So she guns it on the car, in her car, pulls out of traffic, and drives over a bunch of demons. And then Wonder Woman stops the car and tells her, "What are you doing?" And she looks at Wonder Woman and she goes, "I have to get away from the demons." And Wonder Woman looks at her and then points down the road. And the woman just ran over a bunch of innocent civilians and bystanders.
Oh, wow.
And then a similar thing happens with Superman, where Superman goes to this guy's house and the guy is getting ready to kill his family with an axe. And Superman and a squad of local police department show up and rescue this guy. And the guy's like, "You don't understand. They're monsters." And he's like, "No, sir, I don't think you understand. That was your family." And he's like, "No, it wasn't. It was monsters. Just like those people in the shed." And Superman's like, "What do you mean, the people in the shed?" And he takes Superman out back, and he's been killing all the neighbors with an axe.
Oh, my God.
And
so
you're
not,
like...
So not a kid's cartoon.
This is not a kid's Justice League.
I find that they've done that with the cartoons, which is unfortunate, because the movies have got that dark tinge to them. And the Justice League movies used to be really good. Like, that's what I would look forward to kind of tide me over from Batman v Superman stuff, is watching the Justice League films. But then they reset everything, and they gave, like, I mean, as much as I like Alan Tudyk, he's not a good Superman, you know.
No.
You know, so they cast him, and then Wonder Woman is this, like, "What is this world with all this electricity that you have?" And you're, oh God, look, please stop.
Here's the thing. This is very much not in that vein. Superman, Wonder Woman, and some of the other Justice League, they're in like the first 2 minutes, and then they show up again for like 5 minutes at the end. But other than that, it's about a 75-minute long movie. Other than that, it is literally a bunch of other characters you've never heard of.
So which ones? So
the basic premise is Superman and Wonder Woman tell the Justice League, we need to get some of those unusual characters involved. We think that there's magic and supernatural things being involved.
Right.
And Batman's answer is, it's not real. There's no such thing as magic. You people can believe whatever you want. I'm going. And he leaves. And then it cuts to a scene of him like in his hotel room shaving and getting ready for bed. And in the fog, somebody writes the word Constantine in the mirror.
Okay.
And he's like, no, no. And then he goes out of the bathroom and out into the rest of the room. And someone has carved into the wall all over the room, Constantine, 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 go talk to Constantine. And so Batman ends up having to track down, what's her name? Zatanna.
I know who you mean. Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
No.
Zatanna. Okay.
And Zatanna is like, I can get you in touch with Constantine. And what you end up finding out is that the spirit that was talking to him is a guy named the Dead Man. I'd never heard of this character. He was new to me. But he's a spirit of a circus performer that died, and his spirit made a deal with an afterlife deity, and so he cannot die. He's just a spirit that he can inhabit other people's bodies, and he does that to bring justice to those that don't get justice.
Interesting. I know that there's a number of DC characters that are focused on magic.
Yeah, and he's one of them. And he apologizes to Batman and is like, I'm really sorry, but I needed to get your attention, and what's going on is involved with magic, and I need you to talk to Constantine. And so they track down Constantine, who is in what's called the Mystery House, and he is the owner and proprietor of the Mystery House, and it is like a house that floats through time and space.
Hmm.
And they and Zatanna's trying to get them there, and Batman's like, why is this not on a GPS? And she's like, you don't understand. The house will come to us. We're not going to the house. You just need to drive in a direction, and the house will find us. And he's like, I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense. You people are weird. And that's pretty much Batman's answer to everything through the whole movie. It's like, why do we have to go talk to this person? I don't believe in wizards. And like, and it's really neat and clever the way they do it. And they find Constantine, who is played by Matt Ryan from the Constantine TV show that got canceled last season.
He will always be Edward Kenny to me, but
yes,
I know who you mean. And I enjoy him both as an actor and a voice actor.
And he is absolutely fabulous in this. The character looks like him on screen, and they animated him to look just like him. And they nailed his mannerisms down and everything. It's really, really neat.
That's cool.
He basically doesn't want to help. He's like, okay, I'll take a number. I'm going to go solve this mystery on my own. And they're like, no, you don't understand. Batman and everybody needs you to work with us as a team. And he's like, I don't do teams. And he ends up having to lead them all and help them find what's causing these demons.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like, I can't remember which TV show it was. I know Constantine made an appearance in Arrow.
Yeah.
But there was a reluctant leadership in one of those shows. And I can't remember which one it was. It might have been, maybe it was the Constantine show itself, but yeah, I know what you mean. I'm looking through and seeing that Etrigan is in this.
Yes,
and
he's awesome.
Is he? Because does he still speak in rhyme and riddle? Because that drove me nuts.
Yes, but he has so little dialogue that when it happens, it makes sense. But
okay.
It's mostly what's his name, Nicholas Blood or whatever that character's name is.
Right.
That's his counterpart. He does almost all the dialogue. And he almost never wants to become Etrigan. It's almost like every time it happens, he gets forced into it. And then Etrigan mumbles a rhyme as he smashes somebody. And then afterwards, he comes back down and turns back into Blood.
Huh. See, I didn't realize he had an alter ego. Whenever I've seen him in the cartoons, he's always just been Etrigan. Like, I didn't realize there was another side of him. Not a character I'm familiar with the comics.
Actually,
either. It's only been animation.
One of the interesting things with that is they explain his origins.
Oh, neat.
And he came from Merlin, the Merlin.
Oh, okay.
And he was a knight of, like, the Round Table or medieval knight, and he was on his first, like, mission or quest, and he was about to die in battle, and Merlin bound him to the demon to save his life.
This sounds a lot better than I was expecting it to be, you know?
There are weak points. Sometimes Batman's a little annoying because
they've done that with him, yeah.
Because he's so anti-everything. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, monsters show up and Batman throws a batarang at it and is like, why isn't it working? And you're like, because it's magic, Batman. Your bombs don't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've had that happen in some of the other Justice League movies where he's more of he's almost like a whiny grump.
Yes.
You know, like, there's Wonder Woman and Superman and probably Aquaman or one of the other big superpowers or the Flash. And yeah. Batman and maybe not Green Lantern, but Batman and somebody else are talking. And who's the other Justice League member that's just human and not like super, super? Maybe it is the Green Lantern, because Green Lantern's going to ring, but he's just a dude, right?
Yeah, there's Hawkman.
Yeah, I know he's an alien too. I remember these conversations that Batman was having, being like, well, you and I we got our work cut out for us because we're not, you know, them. And he's pointing to like Wonder Woman and Superman, you know, who are like lifting buildings and throwing them at people. And Batman's
be Green Arrow.
I don't know. I'm getting confused as to whether that's, you know, a Green Arrow TV show thing that I'm remembering. But I definitely remember Batman saying it in the cartoons. It might also have happened in some of the times where Batman has been in the Young Justice.
It could have been that.
Because then he's like, yeah, I can see it like him talking to Robin and saying that.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be careful because you're not, you know, a Martian or a magic beast or I can't remember some of the other. Well, there's Superboy. You know, like, there's all these other aliens and stuff that are in the cartoons, but that's cool. I saw a trailer for the new Young Justice direct-to-DVD, and that looks really good too.
You mean the new Teen Titans?
Sorry, Teen Titans. Well,
yes.
So Teen Titans, Young Justice is Teen Titans though, right?
No. Teen Titans is a different group altogether.
No, it's Robin and Beast Boy and
Starfire and Raven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Young Justice is a different show altogether.
Oh, it's a different show. Like Teen Titans Go is like a kids' cartoon, and then Young Justice was like a Warner Brothers animated, like very similar to animated Batman, animated Superman, Justice League stuff. I know that, but it's the same characters. Like, it's Robin, and it's not, it's like mentored by one of the Justice League guys, but usually Batman. But no, he's not like a team member. He just kind of checks in once in a while. Robin, I think, is the leader. From what I can remember, that was a good cartoon. I wish they would bring that back. I know that there was talk about Netflix.
No, it is. It's coming back.
Oh, is it?
Season 3 is coming back, and they've already confirmed a bunch of the voice actors have agreed to come back and do their roles.
Nice. No, I like that show.
It's already like in development and in the, it's beyond the planning stages. It's in the actual, like,
cool.
It's being made.
Teen Titans, the movie, that DVD though, looks good too. Looks more adult.
Yes. The only thing that kind of disappointed me is I think Damian Wayne is in it, and I think Damian Wayne's kind of...
He's a one-note character. It sucks.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right, because there was a scene with Nightwing and Damian Wayne's talking in the trailer, and he's like, do you ever take that suit off? And Damian's like, only when I bathe. And then Nightwing's like, I think it's time. And then he checked, like, he sniffs his own pits, and he was like, oh, come on, man. Like, he is just so serious all the time.
He almost makes Batman look like Batman is
cheery,
comedic. Yeah. Yeah. You're like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah. The Batman and Robin direct to DVD, I think it's what it's called.
Yep.
That was also, again, more adult themes, but man, it suffered from that problem, but the action in that was awesome. Ridiculous. That's one thing I do like about, Damian Wayne when he's in the movies as Robin is that he kicks tail. Like it's really fun to watch the animators, kind of deal with him because he's taking down, adults that are like four times his size. And like combination of like ninjutsu and like, tumbling and acrobats and gear, like all the cool bat stuff that he has. Like it's really fun to watch.
It's definitely interesting. I think Young Justice is coming back. I don't know if it's this year, but I know we'll be getting it by next year.
Yeah. Well, I mean that kind of stuff, especially hand drawn stuff, even with computers these days, it does take a long time to make them. Speaking of good action movies, I watched Jason Bourne over the weekend.
I'm sorry.
Really? I liked it.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've never been a fan of the Bourne movies.
So, I really liked the first one. I think the second one was like my favorite. And this is the third or fourth with Matt Damon.
It's a fourth with Matt Damon, fifth total.
Fifth overall. Yeah. And I liked the one with Jeremy Renner. It was okay. I don't remember much of it, so it didn't leave an impression on me. But as far as the Matt Damon arc goes, with Jason Bourne, I really liked this movie. It was really good action. They were always driving the plot forward, even in small, quiet conversations.
Oh, see, that's good. That's always been my gripe with the other Bourne movies, is the plot is so convoluted, you don't realize why he's going, where he's going.
Yeah, no, this is...
Except that he goes there and beats up a bunch of people, and you're like, well, that was a neat action sequence, but why'd that happen?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. No, this is... Everything happens for a reason, and... You are definitely rewarded by the end because there's a lot of snaking around because it's CIA, you know, top secret agent stuff. So there's a lot of agendas and a lot of people pulling their own reasons and things. So that you have to pay attention to. Definitely not a movie that you can be on your phone because there are things that happen and like documents that come up on screen that you really have to read. And it's one of those things where I'm glad that I had it on home video because I paused a couple of screens to see exactly what the details were and, you know, and that sort of thing. And I really liked it. It's the reasons, like Jason Bourne's motivations made sense. The actors in it were all really good. Tommy Lee Jones is the main adversary at the CIA headquarters, and he's always good when he's in those kind of roles.
Really?
Yeah. The girl, his number two, so his kind of like the person really pulling a lot of these operations, trying to catch Jason Bourne, is the girl from Ex Machina. She played the robot.
Okay.
So she's creepy. Even as a person, she's a robot. Like,
really?
As an actor, when she's playing this kind of stern, not a bad guy, because she's supposed to be the CIA, but they're, in as far as the movie is concerned, Bourne is the good guy, the CIA are the bad guys. But so when she's playing that, you know, she's playing a person doing her job for her country, but there's something very cold about the way that she portrays that. And it really gets under your skin in a way that you enjoy in the movie. It's just, you look at her and you just feel like, man, she's scary at what she does, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Right.
Which it's just really cool to see because she's in the cyber division. So she's not out like, you know, karate chopping people. She's more like three steps ahead of everybody in that way. But yeah, no, I really liked it. The car chases and the action sequences, the fight scenes, they did really well where you weren't so close with the camera that you couldn't see what was going on. And I always love the resourcefulness of the fight scenes in the Bourne films. Like there's a scene where somebody hits him with a dumbbell, like they're in a home and somebody had a home gym and the guy picks up like a 30-pound dumbbell and like punches born with it. And you just think how much that hurts. He's like, oh God, like that would end, you know, any fight with me right there. Like I'm done. I'm
right.
But then Bourne picks up a wooden chair, right? And mm-hmm. and starts breaking off pieces and like ends the fight that way. He's like, I never would have thought to pick up a chair and break it and use bits of it as weapons, right? Because there's nothing else. Like there's a plastic phone and, you know, nothing else in the room that you can use. It's like, that's crazy. Right. And so stuff like that happens so quick. And you're just like, wait a minute, what did he just pick up? That's a chair leg. Like he just beat that guy up with the leg of a chair convincingly. So stuff like that I thought was really good. And I feel like there was a couple of other actors that were in it that were really good, but they went into a lot of the reveal of the why and the how Jason Bourne became Jason Bourne. And without any spoilers, without any kind of giveaway, I really liked the ending, which is not something I can always say about the Bourne movies.
Yeah.
But no, it was really good. They did a good job with that. And I think it's a really cool notch that Matt Damon has on his belt, like that he's Jason Bourne. Like that is, no one else can do it. You know, like I think it's definitely worth watching. If you haven't, have you seen them all and just not liked them, or did you give up?
I've seen the first three. I never watched the one with Renner. And okay. They were all, I liked the first one. The second one was okay. I had issues with the villain in the second one because the guy that was sort of like the good guy on the backside in the first one ends up being the villain in the second one, and I didn't really understand his motivations.
Right.
That was kind of my issue. And then the third one, it just felt like, oh yeah, we need to make a third one of these, and the plot never felt like it made any sense.
Yeah, I don't remember the third. I remember the first two a lot better because I've seen those twice each. But I do not, I don't remember.
My issue with them has never been the acting or the action. It's always been the writing. Like the plots in them always seem so convoluted that I never understand characters' motivations. Sometimes it just feels like the guy doing the bad thing is doing the bad thing because he's the bad guy. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, no. Well, at least this one doesn't suffer from that. I'd be curious to see if you do find yourself interested in watching it. I'd be curious to hear what you think, because it doesn't sound like it would line up with the problems that you have with the other.
No, it probably doesn't. Their marketing didn't really sell me either. That's been my issue lately. Is that this Pete's Dragon? Like none of those movies had enough. There wasn't enough out there about them to make me go, oh man, I need to see that. It would be like a 2-second spot on a website somewhere being like, Jason Bourne is back. That's not going to sell me.
Yeah.
Show me some more.
There has to be a little bit more hype. I think Netflix is doing a good job. I watched the trailer for Iron Fist today.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that.
It looks really good. And I'm trying to remember where I've seen the actor before. I didn't have a chance to look it up.
It's Game of Thrones.
Oh, that he's Lancel.
Yeah.
Lancel. Yeah, that's right. Okay, now I understand.
And he looks so different in this.
You know who he looks like is, and I know it wasn't him, but that's why I was not being able to place him. It's the guy that plays Marco Polo.
Yes.
In that show.
Yes.
And he looks very, very similar. Same haircut. That sort of thing. But no, you're right. Yeah, Lancel from Game of Thrones. I really enjoy the level of comedy that they keep on stitching into these Marvel Netflix shows.
Yes.
I know there's going to be some long slog and there's going to be some setup and some backstory because it's a new character, and that's fine. Cause I know nothing about Iron Fist. But I enjoy that Rosario Dawson is the nurse, you know, across all of the different, Defenders shows.
Yeah.
And she's always got these like what just happened? You did a what now? Like, I just love how it's all like, you know, new to them. It's like, just like you were talking about with magic in the DC universe and Batman going like, what the hell is going on? Everybody that sees like powers, you know, in this Marvel situation.
I have a funny feeling that while they haven't said anything, I think one of the other Defenders is going to make a cameo at some point.
Okay.
I have a funny feeling from the way that the trailer's been edited that something's going to happen, and I think we're going to either get Jessica Jones or Luke Cage making a cameo, even possibly Daredevil.
I would think Daredevil would be the one that would make the cameo.
It might be Daredevil.
Because the one of the characters that they showed, I don't remember her name. She was the little old lady from China. One of the Kingpin's kind of partners in Daredevil.
In fact, I don't think they ever gave her a name.
It's Mrs. Lou, or like he addresses her in not a first name, but he calls her like a Mrs. something.
Yeah.
I don't remember what her name is though. But they, maybe the chat room will tell us, but they, she's not been in Jessica Jones or Luke Cage. There's been no overlap with those other shows. So it makes me wonder whether, because she's shown up in this one, in the trailer for Iron Fist, whether that means that any kind of cameo crossover might be a Daredevil thing, and maybe not Daredevil. Maybe it'll be Matt Murdock. Like maybe he won't be in suit.
Yeah, I can see that. He needs a lawyer or something, and Claire goes, "I got a friend that can help you with that." And Murdock shows up.
It's like
up.
The last two episodes or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think that's something that they have actually needed to do. Because Luke Cage made his first appearance in the Jessica Jones show, but then you never saw her in Miss Gao, according to Sam.
Madam Gao, that's right. Thank you, guys. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm excited. It looks really good.
Yeah, and I think Iron Fist is a character that I don't think a lot of people are familiar with, so I think it's going to be interesting enough to keep everybody enthralled.
Mm. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm on board. I trust the Netflix Marvel. I said Marvel. I meant Marvel. That's what happens when you podcast late at night, folks.
I think we all know what you meant.
Still, though, there are people that would let me know. By the way, Joel, push up nerd glasses. It's like, yes, I know. But yeah, I think that I trust the Marvel Netflix shows. Sometimes they take a little bit of a long way to get going, but you're always rewarded by about mid-season.
I have a funny feeling that this is not going to be a slow start.
It does look like it's going to kick off rather fast.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you get a couple of episodes of quick and then you get a couple of episodes of slow backstory. And I'm wondering if that's, I'm hoping they don't do that, but.
I have a funny feeling it's going to be like a fast, slow kind of show where it's going to be like, you get an episode of all action, then you get an episode of the plot that leads you to the action, and then you kind of do it in that sort of fashion.
Yeah. Yeah, I find, I didn't mind, it's old now, but at first I really enjoyed the way that they did that in Arrow, where they would flash back to the island every once in a while and it would be poignant and make sense. And
yeah,
I'd be okay if they did that for certain scenes.
Did you hear about the interview that somebody from Netflix or Marvel was interviewed, and somebody brought up the Defenders, and they gave a description of how all the Defenders are going to meet.
Oh no, I didn't hear that.
In the Defenders show. Oh, they're like, so how are you going to put all these characters together? And they went, oh, that's easy. They're all going to be chasing various bad guys and all end up at the same place all at the same time and decide they have to work together. And that was the answer. And I was like, actually, that's actually kind of awesome. No show ever does something like that.
Yeah. It'd be really funny to have, like, Daredevil chasing some guy through one alley and then Iron Fist jumps over the roof ahead and Daredevil's like, wait, who was that?
Yeah. It sounds like that's the plan. And I'm like, if that's how it starts, if they do that right in the first episode, that would be awesome.
I feel like that's happened before in some other movie that I've seen. I don't remember exactly which one. Maybe I've just seen it happen in Flash, the TV show, but where people, like, at first they look like they're going to be enemies, but then they end up being friends.
Yeah.
So it might have been one of those, like, over the top action movies, like the one with, like, Bruce Willis and Schwarzenegger and
Expendables.
Yeah, Expendables. Like it would be a movie of that ilk, I think, is where that might have happened. But anyway, all really cool stuff. I'm excited because Netflix in Canada is dry. I have watched all the things that are good and all of the things that I have not seen. So I'm dying for something new. So hopefully that'll be something that will fill that void. In the meantime, You can head on over to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. That's one of the spots on the internet where you can support the show. So if you enjoy the conversation that Lou and I are having right now, then why not help us make more? Patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. It's completely up to you. You can join the Patreon Slack chat. You can get downloads and notifications when I post a new episode, all that kind of stuff. So just check out Patreon and the Citadel Cafe and let us know what you think. My internet pick this week is pretty straightforward. It is going to have to be a visual reference, though. So if you go to artstation.com and look up the artist Gop Gap, G-O-P-G-A-P, then you will see some fantastic, very, I want to say, children's illustration-like artwork. But then he tackles all kinds of really cool pop culture as well as original art. So in this really cool kitty style, he'll draw a little elf eating a sandwich on a branch, or he'll draw Obi-Wan Kenobi, or Lion-O, or like a G.I. Joe character, and Ninja Turtles and stuff. Anyway, it's really, really cool stuff. It's a really, really charming art style, and if you're into this kind of thing at all, then I would encourage you to go check out Gop Gap on our station. I tried very hard to find his real name or her real name, and I can't. So
it's very, seems very Disney inspired.
Yeah, yeah, it's got that kind of Pixar concept art feel to it. And it's a style that I see quite a bit in children's illustration in some of the interviews that we do on Comics Coast to Coast. That's a pretty popular way to do things right now, with kind of like a chalky edge. But there's something about this particular artist's work that is just a little bit different. Like I keep on saying he, because Gop Gap sounds masculine to me. I have really no idea. But it's just this funny, appealing, well, the cartoon of the artist that they've got at the top of the page is obviously a man. So that's probably what I'm doing, where I'm getting that from. But yeah, like it'll go from something really kind of like a stick figure, kind of Harry Potter character, to a bunch of lions and tigers in football uniforms. And it's a very different, like he's got a range. Whereas I find some of the other artwork in this vein online, this is all that that artist will do. But Gop Gap has got a range, which is mm-hmm. really, really fun. There's some paintings with a little, looks like a little boy or a girl with a giant fox, like a fox the size of a dinosaur. And they're beautiful. They look like oil paintings. They're so well done. I'm discovering a lot of new artists on ArtStation lately. And Gop Gap is one of the new on the list.
Very neat.
I didn't look long enough to see if there's any video game pop culture stuff in there. I'm sure there are.
Oh, there is. There's lots of anime stuff.
Yeah.
From what I gather.
Yeah. I was looking specifically for Zelda because everything else that they had put down felt to me like this person has to be a Nintendo fan.
But I honestly don't see any. I think I see some Warcraft stuff.
Oh, I didn't get that far. There's a lot of work there. I didn't go through all of it. I only just found it before the show. So I just said, ooh, I know where I'm doing with this, and put the notes and the links and stuff in the show notes. But then I didn't scroll all the way to the bottom. But very cool. I will have to return and check that out. I did see the Harry Potter stuff. That stuff was fun too.
Yep.
So speaking of video games, what's your pick this week?
My pick this week is the Humble Bundle is back with a mobile bundle. So I'm sorry if you have an iPhone. This bundle won't help you. But if you're an Android user, they're doing what they call the Humble Mobile Bundle RPGs. And so $6 and you're going to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 games and possibly more in a couple of days.
Wow.
And it's worth it for 3 games alone. They have a game here called Shadowrun Returns, which I have on my PC. It is absolutely fabulous. If you like cyberpunk or fantasy mixed with sci-fi, that's pretty much what Shadowrun is. The idea is supposed to be in the future, man and machine and a thing called the Cataclysm happened, and people turned into elves, orcs, and various supernatural beings. Dragons came from the center of the earth again and joined us. In the meantime, the world continued to move forward in technology. So you've got like elves with like cybernetic eyes running around, and orcs with giant bionic arms, And it's all done in an RPG storyline where you're what's called a shadow runner, basically a mercenary for hire. And you go on a job and things go bad.
Right.
And it's all done in like a strategy kind of game.
Like, yeah, it looks like Diablo.
It looks like Diablo, but it's like a turn-based game.
Oh, okay.
So it's like you run around like Diablo and talk to people in town and buy equipment and move the story along. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, and three guys jump out of the alleyway and try to steal your stuff. And then it turns into a turn-based game.
Right.
And you have to plan and think your way through the puzzles and stuff. It's very neat. For $6, it's worth that alone. But you also get the sequel to that, Shadowrun Dragonfall.
Cool.
And you get Star Wars The Knights of the Old Republic Xbox game that is now available to play on your Android phone.
Isn't that nuts that what used to be an Xbox game is now a phone game?
Yes. And I actually have played this version of the game. Even if I know it's also on, iPhones as well. It plays really, really well with an all-touch interface.
No kidding.
Yep.
I've missed out on the RPG for Star Wars. I played SWTOR very, very briefly.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that, but I didn't have time for another MMO, so I didn't really get into it. But I don't believe I had a powerful enough PC back when Knights of the Old Republic was a cool thing.
It's one of the best Star Wars games ever made.
I've heard that.
Hands down.
Yeah, I've heard really good things.
The story will just keep you going. In fact, my roommate just recently played. He had never played either one of it or its sequel. And he recently just played through both of them. And was like, wow, I can't believe I never played those.
Mm-hmm. Have you played, I'm looking at one of these other games here. Have you played Evoland before?
I have. It's kind of like Zelda, except the game begins with you in like an old school, like Atari game format or old NES game format. And then as you go advance through the game changes and becomes more and more modern until it's almost like a modern day Zelda game.
Oh, interesting. That's a kind of a neat idea.
Yeah. And I've played, I think, almost every single one of these games except for maybe one or two. And they're all really good, but legitimately, Shadowrun Dragonfall, and Knights of the Old Republic, this bundle is worth it just for those games alone.
Shadowrun has got a really neat concept. Like, you see a lot of these Japanese-inspired RPGs. You see a lot of, like, Star Wars or Warcraft kind of, not ripoffs, but, like, you know, esque. Kind of, it's all fantasy or it's all sci-fi, but the Shadowrun mixing the two is kind of neat.
Well, Shadowrun itself, it's been around for something like 20 years or so.
Yeah, no, I recognize the IP.
It was originally a tabletop Dungeons and Dragons style game, and then the company that made it went bankrupt, and then somebody else bought it and ran it for a while, and then there's been a couple of other video games based on it back during the Super Nintendo and Genesis era. Mm-hmm. In fact, in the game itself, characters from the Super Nintendo game make cameo appearances in the new game.
Nice.
Which is really neat when the character shows up. You're like, oh, I played that game on the Super Nintendo, and this character made an appearance in pretty much the exact same fashion he just did in this game. That's kind of clever and neat.
Yeah, it's nice when they can do stuff like that. Well, that is humblebundle.com, and it's just, is it right on the main page?
It's right on the main page. You just got to click there's a tab at the top that says Mobile Bundle.
Right. Cool. And this all, part of it goes to charity, right?
Yes. You get to designate how much of it goes to charity usually.
Oh, very cool. Always a cool thing, especially kind of this time of year where there's no holidays kind of driving, you know, good charity work. It's nice that there's always little things like that going on. Well, that brings us to... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, weirdly enough, they just had a comic book bundle ad, like, in the last couple hours.
Oh, cool. I will have to check that out. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of the Citadel Cafe. We record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on thecitadelcafe.com. Our mobile audio stream is provided by alphageekradio.com, and the music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod. Email the show with your favorite, I don't know, charity pick, or maybe your favorite mobile video game at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com, or find us by name on Twitter and Facebook and shout at us there. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I am doing online at joelduggan.com. and forgepublishing.com. That is taking up most of my time these days. If you are interested in an update about Daily Paintings, The Art of Piper Thibodeau, we are very, very close to finishing the book. The inside of the book is finished. Piper and I are currently working on the outside. So finishing up the cover designs, getting those mock-ups ready for print, and going from there. So we're very, very close. I do need to make an update on the Kickstarter page. So look for that in your inbox soon. My name on Twitter and Instagram and other social media is another great way to find me. Or if you like artists like GopGap, check out Comics Coast to Coast. Tomorrow night, we're going to be interviewing Gary Labe. We've actually had some of his artwork featured on the show before. He did a Goblins Lemonade board game a while ago, if you remember that. So we're going to talk to Gary tomorrow night. Lou, where can people find you online?
The easiest place to find me is on Twitter. I am at BusyZombieLord. And you can check out my show, Zombies Ate My Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from. We're on everything. Just look for Zombies Ate My Podcast.
You've been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
This podcast recorded before a live internet audience. To learn how to listen and watch live, visit tunein.alphageekradio.com.